An unusual trial in South Africa has been suspended after only one day. More than 36 drug companies are suing the government over its policy on patents for brand-name drugs. They're trying to overturn a 1997 law that permits the country to import drugs from the cheapest source. The law also permits cheaper generic copies of drugs for AIDS and other conditions. The trial has been postponed until April to give drug companies more time to review documents submitted by AIDS activists. In opening statements yesterday, lawyers for the international pharmaceutical industry argued that the law gives South Africa unprecedented power over their businesses. They say the law could undermine the international system protecting all companies' patents, not just drugs. South African lawyers are expected to counter that the law is urgently needed to help the country fight AIDS. This month, NPR News is reporting on efforts to provide AIDS treatments to millions of people who now go without. NPR's John Hamilton explains how far companies are willing to go to block generic drugs and protect their patents by learning from the past experience of Canada.
The current battles over generic drugs are taking place overseas. In Brazil, drug firms are looking to the World Trade Organization to guarantee strong patent protection. In South Africa, they're suing the government. It's not clear whether the drug industry will prevent generic knockoffs in either nation, but experience closer to home shows just how influential the drug companies can be. Canada became a haven for copying prescription drugs in 1969. That was the year a law removed the last barriers to copying drugs under a system known as compulsory licensing. Jim Keon is president of the Canadian Drug Manufacturers Association, which represents generic firms. He says compulsory licensing meant companies automatically got permission to copy a new drug, so long as they agreed to pay the patent holder a small royalty.
That really allowed a generic drug industry to start in Canada. And really from 1969 to 1993, Canada had a system of compulsory licensing for about 24 years that operated very effectively.
The system meant brand-name drugs faced almost immediate price competition from generic versions, and that helped keep drug prices in Canada much lower than in the U.S. The amount of money at stake was relatively small, though. Canada represents less than 2% of drug sales worldwide. Even so, U.S. firms launched an all-out campaign to eliminate compulsory licensing and government price controls. Keon says the drug companies used several tactics.
The primary one was through trade pressure. Canada and the United States were negotiating a free trade agreement. And behind the scenes, part of the pressure from the United States was that if Canadian manufacturers wanted access to the U.S. market, one of the things the Canadian government was going to have to do was limit compulsory licensing.
Throughout several trade negotiations with Canada, drug company lobbyists made sure the U.S. officials at the bargaining table were keenly aware of every patent-related issue. The companies also lobbied Canadian officials. But Keon says the pharmaceutical industry didn't stop there.
They control vast sums of money and can determine how much money will go into research on new medicines in Canada as opposed to in the United States, as opposed to in Australia, as opposed to in Brazil. And frankly, they use this as a carrot and stick approach. If you remove your price controls and allow us to have higher prices, we'll guarantee a certain number of research dollars.
That argument was especially effective in Canada because government spending on research was falling during the 1980s. Also in that decade, the Conservative Party gained control of the government, and it was trying hard to encourage drug company investments in Canada. So the country began a radical revision of its patent laws. In 1987, it gave drug patent holders 7 years of exclusive marketing before generic copies could be sold. In 1993, it increased the period to 20 years.
Those two events, I think, would be described as major, and those have helped us really generate the type of dynamics that have driven an investment in research.
Murray Elston is president of Canada's research-based pharmaceutical companies. He says that changes to the patent law have brought huge increases in research spending by the companies he represents. And that, he says, is good for Canadians.
We went from an investment of about $106 million to an investment of about $1 billion. So that moved the members of our association to funding roughly 42% of all biomedical research in Canada and represented about twice as much as the investment made by the federal authorities, for instance.
And that research has led to advances in drugs to treat ulcers and other illnesses. But some argue there's been a very high cost for consumers and the government. Dr. James Wright is part of a program at the University of British Columbia that provides doctors with information about drugs.
The drug budgets are breaking the healthcare bank right now. It's the major cost pressure on the healthcare system right now.
Across Canada, provincial governments are struggling to pay for healthcare, in part because they're spending more on drugs. Wright says the government has tried to hold down costs through regulation, but the efforts haven't been very effective. He says that's because it's not easy for a relatively small nation to resist the influence of multinational drug companies.
With mergers, et cetera, now they're becoming the most powerful companies in the world. They have bigger budgets than a lot of countries.
The biggest brand-name drug companies have worldwide revenues of more than $25 billion a year, many times the amount spent by some African governments. Dr. Joel Lekshin is an emergency physician in Toronto and a longtime critic of the drug firms. He says their big profits give them big influence in international trade matters.
They have the ear of governments in places that matter, the U.S. and some of the European countries, and these countries see the pharmaceutical industry as a source of export earnings, of medical research, and they're willing to take rather drastic action.
Action like threatening to limit trade or cut off loans or aid to nations that don't agree to protect drug firms' intellectual property. Lekshin says the experience in Canada should serve as a warning to other countries contemplating changes in patent protection.
The message here is cross us at your own peril, because we have very powerful friends who can do you serious damage.
However, even those powerful friends are influenced by public opinion, which has swung toward poor countries battling HIV. Last year, the Clinton administration pledged not to impose trade sanctions on poor nations that buy or make generic HIV drugs. And last month, the Bush administration said it had no plans to change that policy. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.